The first reading is from the Christian Bible, 2 Corinthians 13, 11 to 13. Final greetings and benediction. Finally, brothers and sisters, farewell. Put things in order, listen to my appeal, agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. The Gospel from Matthew 28, 16 to 20. The commissioning of the disciples. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." The contemporary reading from Found Poetry, "And There Is No Harbour" by Dinah Hawken. In 1937, Robin Hyde said, The dead thing at our heart poisons us all. We cannot be ourselves. We cannot know ourselves for shame. In 1940, Virginia Woolf said, "Unless we can think peace into existence, we, not this one body, but millions of bodies yet to be born, will lie in the same darkness and hear the same death rattle overhead." In 2000, J.C. Sturm said, "Have you heard of Parihaku's boys and girls waiting outside the gates when the mounted soldiers came to rape and murder, pillage and burn, to take Te Whiti and Tohu away with all the ploughmen and ship them south to build a causeway around Dunedin's wintry harbour? Have you heard of Taranaki iwi denied a trial, chained like dogs in sealed caves and tunnels? Te Whiti said, 'Those who are bent by the wind shall rise again when the wind softens.'" And from Raukula, "White Feather." "In 1881, the women of Parihaka baked 500 loaves of bread for the visitors. 'Sit cut close and be stout-hearted,' Te Whiti said, as the military surrounded the village. 2,000 people sat in silence, unmoving. They sat in silence. They held the silence together. For the word in scripture, for the word among us, for the word within us, we give thanks.
Do you remember the serenity prayer? "Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference." US theologian Reinhold Niebuhr wrote the prayer in the early 1930s. It spread widely and was adopted and popularized by Alcoholics Anonymous and other 12-step programs. The prayer is helpful at times. Gillian used it a few weeks ago in one of our YouTube services when her children, Emily and Lucy, lit the rainbow candle for us. But there are times when we need to reverse the words, to refuse to accept things, particularly injustice. In the 1970s, US activist and academic and civil rights activist Angela Davis made famous the words, "I am no longer accepting the things I cannot change. I am changing the things I cannot accept." And Dame Finia Cooper used the same words during her land march to Parliament in 1975 here in Wellington to protest that not one more acre of land should be taken from Māori.
I think these words can help make sense of the protests we've seen during the past week in the USA and here in Aotearoa. Protests triggered by George Floyd's murder by a white police officer who knelt on his neck as Floyd cried, "I can't breathe," and called for his mother, who had died 2 years ago. Protest at 400 years of oppression and police violence against African Americans and Native Americans. If we have American friends, we will have heard their distress and anger, their grief and rage as they bear witness to their country's history of racial violence, the deaths of thousands of Black Americans at police hands. We may have felt heavy-hearted ourselves. Thousands of people around Aotearoa rallied in solidarity. The US movements for civil rights, Black Lives Matter, and Black Power have long influenced Maori activists. Dame Finna Cooper's use of Angela Davis's saying about change is evidence of this, and Maori activists and academics I know and follow testify to the influence from the USA. After all, there are connections. Both countries were founded on British colonial practices and attitudes of white superiority, as with our neighbour Australia, where something like 430 Aboriginal people have died in custody since 1991, with not one single conviction. Here in Aotearoa, we should not be complacent. New Zealand's Race Relations Commissioner, Meng Foon, commented during the week on events in the USA. He said, open quotes, "It gives us pause to reflect on our own police and justice systems and the importance of equal outcomes for tangata whenua and all communities." Close quotes. The disadvantages of Māori and Pacifica in New Zealand are well documented in home ownership, education, health and justice. In New Zealand, we have the highest rates of incarceration of Indigenous women in the world. Māori are almost 8 times more likely to be subjected to force by police than Pākehā, and 7 times more likely to be charged with criminal offences. Between 2009 and 2019, 2/3 of those shot by the police were Māori or Pacifica. Māori make up 50% of New Zealand's prison population, despite only accounting for 15% of the overall population. And data from the recent trial of armed response teams shows the trial had a disproportionate impact on Māori. Nearly half of those apprehended were Māori, with Pacifica making up another 11%. Tasers, police dogs, and pepper spray are all used disproportionately against Māori and Pacifica in our country. But that's enough statistics. A common response to such statistics is to assume that Māori and Pacifica carry out more criminal activity than other racial groups. But research shows that this is not so, that police carry out racial profiling, that Māori and Pacifica are more likely to be stopped and arrested than Pākehā in similar circumstances. In light of all this, it's not surprising that Māori and Pacifica community leaders are strongly opposed to the permanent introduction of police armed response teams. I included the two poems about Parihaka by Dinah Hawken in the readings today as a reminder of state violence in our past. In her book, There Is No Harbour, Hawken reflects on her family history in Taranaki. But this is not about looking backwards. It's about looking to the future and imagining what sort of country we dream of for our children and grandchildren, our tamariki and mokopuna. I spent a lot of time this week reading and reflecting on what to say to you today. I listened to Meghan Markle talk about preparing a speech for her for the graduating class of her high school in Los Angeles. She said she worried about saying the wrong thing, about having her words picked apart. But in the end, she decided the worst thing would be to say nothing. And I agree. Silence is violence. Silence in the face of injustice is collusion. Some people think religion and politics don't mix or shouldn't be mixed. I believe religion is highly political, that our calling as followers of Jesus is a call to political action, a call to ensure that there is justice for everyone in the communities in which we live. It's time to talk less now and listen more, to put aside our sensitivities, our Pākehā sensitivities, and to listen to the Māori and Pacifica and other people of colour in our community. We're not being asked to apologise for our ancestors. It's time to listen. And on this Trinity Sunday, when the church celebrates the triune God, the Creator, the Redeemer and Sustainer of life, or the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, however you like to think of God, I reflected on how to approach this from a non-theistic point of view. What to say to you in the context of the situation in the USA and what this means for us in New Zealand. Jim Cunningham and I chatted a bit about Trinities and interpretations of the Trinity and possible approaches. I thought one approach for we who are Pākehā might be to think of a Trinity of acknowledgement, lament, and action. We can acknowledge aspects of our history and current systemic racism by reading and listening to others, particularly Māori and Pacifica. There's a lot of material out there to read and listen to. And we can lament the situation for us all, because we all suffer when there's injustice and inequality. But there is no doubt that Māori suffer more and have suffered since European settlers began to arrive in droves 180 years ago. And we can reflect on how we might be part of the change. That starts with education. As I said, there are many resources available, books, blogs, podcasts, and articles. A couple of weeks ago, I provided a list of mainly articles on this subject, but I can provide a more extensive list for people who are interested. As I wrote in this week's newsletter, acknowledgement about systemic racism in our country is not about taking on guilt or apologising for our forebears. It's about acknowledging what's happening in the here and now and doing what we can to make it better. It's an uncomfortable process. I know that only too well, but it's nothing compared to living with the chronic disadvantages of racism. We will resist. People we talk to about it will resist, sometimes vehemently and unpleasantly, no matter how carefully we think we're approaching the topic. But if we keep in mind Jesus' words to love one another, then by the sheer force of love, we can begin to make those changes in ourselves and in our communities. And in that love, I believe we can look to the future and start creating a better world, a better future. We can value the beauty of diversity in our country. We can practice curiosity about our differences between different racial groups, and we can value them, and we can decide to change the things that we can no longer accept. Amen.